in my first High Day sermon, it brought to mind that we are on a journey. 7 days to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And as we conclude this journey today, I found some things, and maybe you did too. Some things were kind of out of place. You know, as we walk each and every day, and we find ourselves here at our Father's doorstep, and we thank Him for bringing us to this end where we are now. And as we go forth today, we will focus on what has been done for us by our brethren, our elder brother Jesus Christ. In the Passover service, we again practice those symbols of His undying love for man by what He did. His doing for us on the stake, we can now visualize the important things that came from His death that we can go forward. We in our busy lives find ourselves running to and fro, crossing many bridges. But do we pay close attention to the very things that connect us in our spiritual lives, to our hope and faith? Do we connect the dots in our day-to-day activities? Our bodies are fine examples of the function that takes place within us that require a catalyst or bridge to complete a function that we may live. Our bodies are so complex when it comes to the cellular level that hormones, little electrical sparks that regenerate cells, that has to take place in us that we can stand here and I can talk to you without twitching. My eyes can stay focused on you. I can read my notes. I can speak. God created in us these little catalyst things, little bridges that get crossed millions of times, maybe a second, a day. You think about your heart. How old are you? How many beats since that first spark in the womb? How many? We as Christians are reminded that there is one who cares and provides a living catalyst for us in our spiritual lives, that we enjoy and understand the things of the Father. It is that spiritual bridge that are laid in our lives that the knowing and the expansion of knowledge takes place in our lives. I didn't even mention the brain. Didn't mention that. Marvelous piece of machinery that God has put together that man can't duplicate. They made supercomputers that kind of get close, but not like the human brain. Not like the intuitiveness that God has built into it, where it creates pathways continually One breaks and then it'll find a way around a pothole. If we did not have Christ as our spiritual bridge, we would find ourselves stranded on one side of the river of sin that would prevent us from crossing and moving on to more knowledge that is needed for us. And as I mentioned, God is not going to open your head and just pour it in there and it's done. He has a plan for us. And that plan takes years because of sin and our hard-headedness. It takes that long. It takes us a long time to undo things, and even at that point, we still don't. Because the power of sin, and sometimes we take that for granted, about how powerful it is and how debilitating it is. And as Mr. Tabor mentioned, is it possible to have all of these maladies, crippling things where you would just give up and not be able to cross over? But Christ did this for us. Jesus Christ bridged our lives through the barren deserts of this world. He bridged our lives through the strongest tempest wind that we have ever faced on this earth. He has bridged our lives over the impassable wide chasms where we could not cross over on our own. And we think about these days, this journey that we're on. Isn't it wonderful that God gives us this opportunity that we can do this again? House clean? Maybe look in that corner that you forgot last year? Rearrange some things? In the Harper's Bible Dictionary, in the 1961 edition, it describes a bridge as a structure that is erected over a stream or a depression or a chasm to carry traffic. Traffic. Who's following Christ? Who is that traffic? Can you think of? Right now. An ancient vestige of a type of bridge that can be seen today is the Robinson Arch, which adjoins the west wall of the temple in Jerusalem. And as we end this journey of unleavened bread today, we look to Christ and his specific purpose for us that we may live. And as mentioned, we remember the Passover service just passed, gathering ourselves for the meal of night to be observed. And as the years go by in our lives, our hope is that we are getting closer to the true meaning of Jesus Christ, our bridge, and holding on for eternal life. He makes it possible that our prayers are heard by the Father, and there are spirit beings who translate those prayers that they are understood by the Father. Can you imagine God the Father and Christ going over the plans for the family. And they saw in their minds, like a movie, beginning to end, man's inability to transcend the physicality of sin. And that no matter how many times they thought and looked at those scenarios, the end was failure for man. This is why the Son had to come, fulfill the part of the weak man that he could not. Jesus Christ, our Passover, lived among men, seeing and feeling the pain, shortcomings. But Christ would pave the way, build the bridge that man could cross over into eternity. What is the importance of that bridge in your life? Tremendous. Tremendous. I think back here in this little fair community in the early 1600s and 1700s when men came to this area of the country and they saw, you wouldn't believe it today, when they saw that Colorado River and said, how can we cross this? The river was huge, over a mile wide in places. You can't tell that now today. Pristine territory. This is where we find ourselves. God opened our minds. And we came out of that water in baptism. And we looked around and we finally had a glimpse of what life really looks like. And said, how in the world am I going to do this? How? You're looking at that impassable river that you need to cross. And Christ puts his hands on your shoulder and he says, fear not. Fear not. I will get you across. And I'm shaking in my boots. I don't know. How are you going to do this? We stand at a crucial time in our lives as we stand before God and His Son. And we must remember that our words we speak, our thoughts, will be brought into account. The secrecy by which we try to cover our ways that are sinful will have its day in the light. The shedding of Christ's blood was the building of that bridge as we know it today. But we have read in the Old Testament men speaking and preparing a way for the coming of that bridge. Today, let us walk in the shoes of those men and women. Days of old, through their eyes, and hear their words inspired by God to us today. It will bring us into the light. We now see the bridge because it leads us to eternity. For your notes today, the sermon title is Jesus Christ, the Bridge to Eternity. To begin, let's go back. Let's go back to the book of Numbers. Numbers 24 and verse 17. Numbers 24 and verse 17, it says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. The men and women in those days who were grasping, trying to find meaning to these words as God has inspired them. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. What does that mean? In Genesis 49 and verse 10, it said, that scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. God's plan is clear to us whose minds are open. To the world, this is just foolishness. And they will tell you, don't talk to me anymore. I don't understand what you're saying. Don't talk to me anymore. And in those days, you go back to the book of Daniel, and it talks about a stone cut out of a mountain. Daniel 2 and verse 45. Who was that stone? Building a bridge from the old to the new and then into eternity. Daniel 2 and verse 45, it says, insomuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that had broken in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the kings that will come to pass after this. The dream is certain. The kings of the earth will see him in his full glory when he returns. And they will be destroyed by Christ on his second coming. He's already come to lay the groundwork to build that bridge. You get to travel on that walkway, the roadway, the bridge that crosses over. We're still walking on it. Isaiah 59 verse 20, it says, the Redeemer will come. Talking about the building of that bridge. The Redeemer will come to Zion. And those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. Many had a vested interest in days of old of not listening. They had a vested interest in making money. They had a vested interest in subjugating people. They had a vested interest in making sure that the people did not hear these words. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of God. Hosea 6 and verse 3. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rains to the earth. God's restored presence and blessings will be like that rain that waters and renews the earth. Do you feel that rain now? Do you feel the rain that the world cannot feel? And you think about when you sprouted in years past. You have a flower, like here, that the world can see. Are you a plant with no blossoms? It's green in nature, no fruit. God wants us to show those fruit. And as you continue to walk, continue to do those things which are pleasing to Him. He says, I will make a way for you to be prosperous. Remember, many of you back in the old days, what a booklet Mr. Armstrong put out, the Seven Laws of Success, about even the world who know nothing about this book, if they adhere to those principles, they would be blessed. Absolutely amazing. It's how God has constructed everything in this world, that good would come from it. In Micah 1 and verse 3, it says, for behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. He's coming down here. We're not ready. He continually gives us time that we continue to know his way. Make it like breathing. Do you think about breathing? No. You don't. God wants his way to be that way. That we continue to look to him and that we have no fear. Thinking back years ago of how Kathy and I wound up in some places where we shouldn't have been. But there was no fear. We just walked right on through and it was done. That's the way God wants us to live. Each day, eat a portion of this book. Continue to digest these words. Continue to let these words manifest themselves in your lives by doing them. And still speaking of that bridge to come. Zechariah 6 and verse 12. Zechariah 6 and verse 12 says, then speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out. And he shall build the temple of the Lord. The real temple. The one that God the Father will come down here to. Once all the enemies and everything had been put underneath the feet. No sin. No pain. Just pure joy. Yes, he shall build a temple of the Lord. Verse 13. Zechariah 6 and verse He shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and a council of peace shall be between them both. Here Christ will be king and priest. God's love for us is tremendous. He wants it to work. He wants to make this marriage work. He was telling Israel in days of old, you are my firstborn. Why do you keep running the other way? I have given you all you desire, but yet you want more. You are my firstborn. We walk this road where God gives us the strength, the vision, the feel, the touch. And as we got closer to the time that Christ was born, we read in Luke 1 and verse 35, still talking about building that bridge. Luke 1 verse 35, and the angel answered to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. The scripture is speaking about Christ coming. To build that bridge that mortal man cannot. He's the Savior, the Messiah. The only Son of God now. There'll be many more. But yet he had to come and build that bridge. And once he was born, we read in Matthew 8 and verse 11. Matthew 8 and verse 11, it says, and I say to you that many will come from east and west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Completeness. It'll all cross over that bridge. The Son of Man will come in glory of his Father with his angels. Matthew 16, verse 27. And then he will reward each according to his works. You are building your resume right now. You know what's on it. God knows what's on it. We're preparing ourselves, as I mentioned, as Christ looks at us and he speaks to us with a little smirk on his face, and he tells us, says, I have something for you that you cannot imagine. And it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And in Christ, said in John 14 and verse 3, laid the groundwork, shed his blood. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also may be also. It's not easy building this bridge. And they looked at all the possibilities. all the possibilities. Couldn't be done by man. Something different was needed. And it was the Son. He had to die. He had to bring life to us. You know, and I think about that, and you look at how these plants come to life. The seed must die. The seed must die before it gives life. That seed. And it's interesting how God uses that analogy with how the physical things grow on this earth and how his Son had to die and come back to give us life. In Psalm 110, I love reading this, so let's read it again. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. The Lord shall send a rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, in the womb of the morning, you have dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the days of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He'll execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore he shall lift up the head. God speaks in plain language to us because we understand this. Jesus Christ will complete that bridge because no man who has fallen asleep on this earth has crossed over into eternity. So Christ has built that bridge, completed it for all mankind. The impossibility for man has become the possible for the Son of the Most High. He will shower man with a love never known before. The world will not know lameness. All will see. All will hear. My mercy I will keep for him forever. Psalm 89 and verse 28. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. This feast of unleavened bread gives us a wonderful opportunity to show resolve and resilience in our walk. The world has no knowledge of this wonderful opportunity that you get to enjoy. It is within our grasp to take hold and to do these things that are pleasing to our Father. And in Ephesians 6 and verse 14, Ephesians 6 and verse 14, it says, stand, therefore, Gird your waist with truth, having put on a breastplate of righteousness. I'll ask the question to you. How was your 7-day journey through these days of unleavened bread? Can you see the bridge that Christ has built that man will cross over into eternity? The world will know for itself that the only way into eternity is through Christ and that bridge that he has built.